In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's hard work being a follower of Christ. Jesus makes that perfectly clear in his words in today's gospel. You want to follow me? Be prepared to have no home. You want to follow me? Be prepared to leave your family behind. You want to follow me? Be prepared to hear people misuse my words as you feel helpless to respond. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, you would think that my calling to be a priest in God's church would mean that I'd have to sign on for all of those things that Jesus talked about, all those warnings about how hard it would be. And I must admit that for me, frankly, it's been easier than that. And it raised some questions for me as to whether I'm doing enough or being enough. I mean, after all, I have a roof over my head, a place to rest my head at night. I have a husband by my side and adult children who support my work. I have a parish full of people who generally agree with a good amount of what I say when I preach. Some days better than others. And I'm part of a denomination that does things in ways that I find life-giving. Yeah, there are problems, and there are certainly people out there who, in my opinion, misuse God's word, but I have the option of ignoring them or responding to them as I so choose. So am I failing in following Jesus? I'd like to say no. I hope it's no, but I do wonder about this. Am I living into my ministry as fully as God desires, or am I taking too easy a path? And that's really at the heart of the question that I'd like us to think about today. What do we commit to when we commit to being followers of Christ? Think about that. Let's start off with the Old Testament story. We have been for the past several weeks talking about Elijah the prophet. And we've been following these stories in the first and second books of Kings, and he has done one difficult thing after another. He has called out King Ahab. He has called out the people of Israel. He's called out everybody, as a matter of fact, who has not been faithful to the covenant between the one true God and God's people. And he has been on the run, trying to avoid getting killed by old Jezebel. He's nearly starved, but for some miraculous meals along the way. And he's survived to this point, and now he is traveling with this trainee prophet, if you will, Elisha. Most recently by his side. And now it's time for Elijah to leave this earthly plane. And he is not going to die. He's actually going to be transmitted to heaven. He's going to be lifted up in a fiery chariot. And in preparation, he's about to place his mantle, his official stole, if you will, on Elisha's shoulders as the one who will carry on his work for God. And Elisha says, "Please give me, before you go, a double portion of your spirit." Elisha has essentially asked for a bequest from his spiritual father, Elijah. He hasn't asked to be a prophet, interestingly enough. In fact, he hasn't acted like a prophet, Elisha, the whole time he's been accompanying Elijah. He's been like, here's a word, a disciple to Elijah. And now his spiritual father is leaving, And here it starts sounding a little bit like Jesus talking to the disciples about the work that they have to do in our gospel passage. He's leaving, and Elijah says what we may have been thinking when we heard Elisha saying, "Please give me a double portion of your spirit." He looks at them and says, "It's complicated. You're asking for a hard thing. That is God's to give you, not me." And we hear that, and we may be thinking that the emphasis in that whole little phrase is on the "it's God's to give" part. But in fact, the emphasis is really on "you're asking for a hard thing." A hard thing. Disciples, whether they are apostles of Jesus Christ or spiritual disciples of the prophet Elijah, have to face the fact that signing on to be a disciple means entering into a complicated and demanding relationship. Those of you who are on Facebook always know that when somebody posts their relationship status as "it's complicated," that there's a story you want to know more about. It's not clear cut. We don't know where that relationship is. And in a way, it's the same for us when we become disciples. It's complicated and it's hard. It's a demanding relationship. It's not easy. It's not glorious. Just ask Elijah hiding out in the cave how glorious that felt. It's not powerful. It's just plain old hard. And there are no guarantees of applause from the onlookers. In fact, the only guarantee is that it will be hard. Okay, so why would anyone offer themselves to be a disciple if that's the kind of deal you get? Doesn't sound very appealing. In fact, it's easier to come up with a top 10 reasons list for not becoming a disciple than for becoming one. Just think of what the reasons to not become a disciple might be. Number 10, you might get killed. Number 9, no one will understand what you're talking about. Number 8, you might get killed. Number 7, if you go around saying you have a message from God, they may lock you up in a psych ward. Number 6, you might get killed. And it goes on from there. You can keep on going. All those good reasons why not to be a disciple. Now let's flip it in the other direction. Let's try and construct a positive list. Number 10. I love God and God wants me to do it. Number 9. I love God and God wants me to do it. Number 8. I love God and God wants me to do it. It's a hard thing coming up with the next 7 reasons, except for that first one, which is the obvious one, and it really is sort of a Lollapalooza. I love God, and God loves me, and God calls me to do and be something that is hard. But I love God so much that I want to give it a shot. I want to try to do it. I feel His love and His encouragement, and even though I'm afraid, even though if I don't know if what I am doing is exactly what God is looking for, even though I don't know if I'm going to be able to complete it, I am going to attempt it. All of my fears and my confusion and my doubts are trumped by that still small voice in my ear, whispering as it did to Elijah, saying, go. Go and do something. Do something small. Do something big. Size doesn't matter. Mother Teresa wisely said, we can do no great things, only small things with great love. So don't stop trying because you fear what you're doing as a disciple isn't big enough or important enough. Am I doing enough? I'm never sure, but if I simply dither and wonder about whether or not it's enough, I won't do anything. So what I do today will have to be my starting place. The prophet Elijah threw his mantle, his cloak, over Elisha's shoulders, along with that double portion of the Spirit, as a final bequest. Jesus gave his disciples the power and the authority to help and to heal and to teach, to cast out demons, as his final bequest. But there was a codicil to the will that was that bequest. You've got to do something with it. Elisha may have stood there as a disciple when Elijah threw that mantle over his shoulders, but over time he grew into his prophetic role from that disciple role, taking that bequest of the Spirit and the mantle of responsibility that went with it. He did something with it. The disciples of Jesus, as confused and as frightened as they were when Jesus left earth and was resurrected into heaven, grew over time into the leaders of the church, taking the bequest of their gifts of teaching and healing and preaching and leading and doing something with them, putting them to use as leaders of God's people. Go. Do something. Be a disciple. You may turn out to be an apostle or a prophet or something else that we don't have a word for yet. But go and do something, and as a disciple, see how you are transformed and into what God transforms you, and see how it will transform the world. Amen.